Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Hanafi Fiqh class with myself, Abu Musab. We are continuing still on with the Kitab Nurul Ibah wa Najatul Arwah of Imam Ash-Shurun Bulali, rahimahullah, which we had started last week. The first 2 weeks we had done Al-Hidayah, which is the Sharah of Bidayatul Mubtadi of Imam Al-Marghinani, rahimahullah. We then moved on to Bada'i' al-Sana'i of Imam Al-Kasani, rahimahullah, and we did 2 weeks of that. And now we've moved on to Nurul Idah, and we did our first class last week. Like I said, it all depends on the feedback, and unfortunately I've not been getting any feedback. So therefore, we are continuing with Nurul Idah again this week, and next week will depend on your feedback, whether we stick with this kitab, or whether we move back to one of the previous ones, or what. So in any case, without further ado, we can continue on with the lesson. Bismillah walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. We stopped in the chapter, we're still in the Kitab al-Tahara, the Book of Purification. We stopped under the chapter Fi Ahkami Su'ri, the chapter regarding the ruling of leftover water, which or rather we can say remnant water, where someone has drank from the water, someone or something has drank from the water. Now, what's the ruling with the leftover water? Can it be used or can't it be used? So he says, وَالْمَاءُ الْقَلِيلُ إِذَا شُرِبَ مِنْهُ حَيَوَانٌ يَكُونُ عَلَى أَرْبَعَةِ أَقْسَامٍ وَيُسَمَّى سُؤْرًا. When you have a little amount of water, and an animal drinks from this water, then it falls into one of four categories, and this water is termed as su'r, meaning remnant water. So we did previously what is considered to be a little water. A little water is that which is 10 cubits by 10 cubits, such as a small amount. This is what would be considered to be a little water. So when you have this amount, and an animal now drinks from it, now here, depending on the animal, the water will fall into one of four categories. And so he says, the first one, al-awwalu, طَاهِرٌ مُطَاهِرٌ وَهُوَ مَا شُرِبَ مِنْهُ آدْمِيٌ أَوْ فَرَسٌ أَوْ مَا يُؤْكَلُ لَحْمُهُ. The first category is water which is pure and is a purifier, and it is such water where a human being, a horse, or an animal whose meat is eaten has drunk from. So if a man or a woman drinks water, and this water left over from this well, like I say, which is 10 cubit by 10 cubit, of course, this is provided no other dirt or anything had fallen into the water, then in this case, the water will be pure, and it will be a purifier. Purifier in the sense that you will be able to perform wudu or ghusl or anything with this water. So that's what we did. Tahirun, mutahirun. So it is what a horse drinks from, a human drinks from, or those animals whose meat is permissible to eat. And we know those like sheep, goat, cattle, camels, chickens, things like this. Those animals that we eat, these ones, if they drink from the water will remain tahirun, mutahirun, pure and a purifier. Then he goes on to number two, and he says, وَالثَّانِي نَجِسٌ لَا يَجُوزُ اسْتِعْمَالُهُ وَهُوَ مَا شُرِبَ مِنْهُ الْكَلْبُ أَوْ الْخِنْزِيرُ أَوْ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ سِبَاعِ الْبَهَائِمِ كَالْفَهَدِ وَالذِّئْبِ. The second category is dirty water, impure water. So the first water, the first category was pure, and it was a purifier, humans, horses, and permissible animals, that is their leftover water. The second water is dirty, impure, and is impermissible to use it. And this water is that where a dog, or a pig, or a hunting animal has drunk from, like a tiger or a wolf. All these fanged creatures, if a fanged creature drinks from it, a cheetah, a fox, a wolf, all these other type of animals, if they drink from this water, then in that case, the water will be dirty, impure, you will not be able to use it for anything. It's not what you term ماء المستعمل, used water that is pure in its own self, but just cannot purify. No, in this case, it is dirty water, so it cannot be used for anything. So that is number two. He says, وثالث مكروه استعماله مع وجود غيره وهو سؤر الهرة والدجاجة المخلات والسباع الطير كالصقر والشاهين والحدأة وسواكن البيوت كالفأرة للعقرب. He says now the third category. So first was pure and purifier. Second was completely dirty and impure. Third category is water which is makruh. It is disliked to use this water when you do have other water present. So let's say you've got two containers over here, and the one container which you are normally using from, this type of animals have come to drink from it. So because you have another container that you can perform wudu with, this water here will become makruh to use. And he says, this third category is water which is makruh to use when you have other water available. And these animals are the remnants of a cat or a stray chicken. I mentioned previously in the previous chapter about a chicken. Here, a stray chicken, because a person don't know what it eats and where all it goes around. That's why it says a stray chicken. Another facet that's affecting the water here also is these animals are eating impurities, and then the impurities is all being transferred to the water. So this is one of the reasons. But obviously, if you see clear impurities in the water, then it's a quite a different story altogether. Any case, so it is a cat or a stray chicken or any other birds of prey, like an eagle or a falcon or these various eagles and falcons, and I can't think of all the other various birds of prey. Vultures are dirty as well. So anyway, I leave that to you. You know probably more birds of prey than myself. But in any case, so that it's these birds of prey which are included in this as well. Okay, and so he says it's these things: the cat, stray chicken, birds of prey like an eagle and a falcon and so on and so forth, and wasawakin or buyut, and those creatures which live around the houses, like a mouse, but not a scorpion. So if you have a domestic mouse drink from such water, and you have other water, it will be makruh to use this water to perform wudu with. But if you don't have other water, then of course it's a different story. That's why it says here, مَعَ وَجُودِ غَيْرِهِ, when there is existing other water that is you are able to use. But when you don't have other water, then obviously, like we say, إِذَا فَاطَ الشَّرْطِ فَاطَ الْمَشْرُوطِ, that when the condition is not found, then the conditional thing also falls away. So this is totally different. So in any case, here in the case where you only have this little bit of water in this container, obviously less than 10 cubits, and one of these type of animals come to drink from it, so it now comes and it drinks from this water here, then it becomes makruh to use, and you then should use other water if possible, but if not, then it will be permissible. So it says here, the animals that live around inside the houses, like a mouse, a domestic mouse, and rats, and so on and so forth, but not a scorpion. Okay, then continuing on. والرابع مشكوك في طهورية. Okay,
ورابع مشكوك في طهوريته وهو سؤر البغل والحمار، فإن لم يجد غيره توضأ به وتيمم ثم صلى. So the final one is مشكوك, doubtful water. So number one was pure water, which was a purifier. Number two was impure water, which was dirty and cannot be used. Number three was disliked water when you have other water available. And lastly, number four is doubtful water concerning its ability to purify. So he says here, this water is the leftover waters of a mule or a donkey. If you have no other water other than this, then you will perform wudu with this water, and additionally, you will also make tayammum, and then you will perform your salah. So it will not be sufficient to just make wudu with the leftover water of that a mule or a donkey has drank from, but rather you will perform wudu and perform tayammum on top of it, and in that state, you will then perform your salah. But obviously, if you have other water, and now you have this water which a mule or a donkey has drank from, then you will not be allowed to use this water. You will have to use proper clean water. Okay, so that is with regards to the four categories of water. Now we move on to a new chapter. We moved past water now, and now we're moving on. فصل في التحري في الأواني والثياب. Now the chapter regarding investigating the utensils and your clothing. So okay, you can see it from the chapter itself. It says لو اختلط أوان أو لو لو اختلط أوان أكثرها طاهر تحري للتوضؤ للتوضؤ والشرب، وإن كان أكثرها نجسا لا يتحرى إلا للشرب. When you're sitting with a container which as you can say you know, investigating whether the container or the clothing can be used or not, so you have some container here in this case which most of it is pure, then you will investigate to whether you can use the water to make wudu with, and whether you can drink that water. So he says, وَإِنْ كَانْ أَكْثَرُهَا نَجِسًا لَا يَتَحَرَّى إِلَّا لِشُرْبِ. If the majority of the water is filthy, impure, then you will not investigate anything except only if it's okay for you to drink. So yeah, when you this is now speaking from a different perspective, you now come across a lot of water. Most of the water is clean, so now you will look, okay, where can I get some clean water so that I can drink and so that I can perform wudu with. That was the first part. Now he's saying, but if the majority of the water is filthy, so now there's no place where you can find clean water that you will now be able to perform wudu with. So in this case, obviously, you will now be making tayammum. So therefore, he says, in this case, you would be looking at the water to see if there's something pure for you to drink for thirst. But other than that, you can't view it. The water would be impure and you would not be able to use it for wudu. This is again in cases of severe thirst and things. If you have other water, obviously all these rules and things fall away. So, and in case that's what regard to investigating the containers of water. Then he says, وَفِي الثِّيَابِ الْمُخْتَلِطَةِ يَتَحَرَّى سَوَاءً كَانَ أَكْثَرُهَا طَاهِرًا أَوْ نَجِسًا. When it comes to clothing, which mixed clothing, so there's clean clothing and dirty clothing, you have to investigate it regardless of whatever case, regardless of whether most of the clothing is clean or whether most of the clothing is dirty. In any case, you will have to look at the clothing, each one investigate it and make certain that the clothing is pure and clean and there is no impurities on it. So Obviously, you know, we know when it we'll do. Okay, we'll do this at a later stage. But we know already by now that when it comes to performing salah, the place where we perform salah must be clean. Us bodily must be clean. The clothing we wear must be clean. So therefore, it is a condition for the validity of the salah that your clothing be clean. Therefore, like you have to make certain your place where you are performing salah is clean, in a like manner you have to see that the clothing you are wearing is clean. Therefore, that investigation of the clothes has been mentioned. So, okay, that is okay, the end of this chapter also. Very small chapter, it's basically just to say, look and make certain what you are using, whether the water is clean for your wudu, and if it's most of the water is dirty, you would not be able to make use of it. And the clothes, in any case, in any situation, you will have to check the clothing out properly to make certain that it is clean so that you can perform salah in that clothing. The next chapter. Faslun fi ahkam al-abari wa tathhiriha. The chapter regarding wells and purifying the wells. So, a well is clean water by default, but now something has fallen, some impurity has fallen into the water, which has now caused the water to be affected. So now, how do you purify this water which is in the well? This is what this chapter deals with. So he says, النزح المطلق والمقيد, that the okay, it says, تمزح البئر الصغيرة ببقوع النجاسة وإن قلت من غير الأرواث كقطرة دم أو خمر. That the water, if it's a small well, then all the water will have to be taken out. Okay, yeah, you'll understand it as we go further. Depending on the size of the well, different methods of purifying the water will take place. So it says, if it is a small well, then some impurities fall into it, regardless of how little impurity it is, then all the water will have to be taken out. Why? Because it's a small quantity of water, so therefore a small amount of impurities will be sufficient to make the entire water impure. So, he says, okay, من غير الأرواث كقطرة دم أو خمر. Okay, that is not equal. Okay, in the places where we are, this is not so commonplace. But in any case, it does happen in the villages and things, so it's not outdated yet. So in any case, it says that all the water of a small well will have to be removed by any impurity, regardless of how little it is, which falls into it. But this is contrary to dung. If dung or cattle or dung falls inside it, and just a small amount, then it would be, as you can say, forgiven, as long as it's not a lot of it. The reason being, when this kitab was written and everything, and you'll find this in the villages in India as well, and so on, where it's still a village life, where there's animals and things, and they pull the water from the wells and so on, and not today where we open taps and water comes out. So, in any case, kitab was written, they used to have a well, and the cattle and things used to come around, so that they would drop the dung there, and the dung would fall into the well as well. So it would become quite difficult if the water would have to be taken out every single time, just every time a cow comes past, some little bit of dung falls inside, therefore all the water must come out like that. It would make things difficult, therefore they say that if a small amount of dung of a whether it's a cow or a sheep, whatever, drops falls into the well, then in this case it would be excused, and you would not have to pull out all the water. But if it's a large amount, then even in this case you would still have to pull all the water out. Okay, he says, like for instance, if a drop of blood or wine falls in the water, this small amount of, like the small amount of blood or the small amount of wine, this will be sufficient to make all the water impure. Reason being, like I mentioned, it's in the context of when this book was written, it was unavoidable. You don't have, the wells were not covered, the animals were walking freely, so you don't have control over what falls into the well. But so therefore, when the animal walks past and some little bit of dung of the animal falls inside, there is a need for the water to be excused. But wine and blood and things like this, this don't come to the water all on its own. It's taken there by someone so that it can fall into the water. Therefore, if that touches the water will all have to be pulled out. Okay, he says, وَبِبُقُوِّ خِنْزِيرٍ وَلَوْ خَرَجَ حَيًّا وَلَمْ يُصِبْ فَمُهُ الْمَاءَ وَبِمَوْتِ كَلْبٍ أَوْ شَاتٍ أَوْ آدَمِيٍ فِيهَا. Furthermore, the water will also become dirty and it will have to all be pulled out if a pig falls into it. Even if the pig is pulled out while it's alive and its tongue and mouth did not touch the water, still, just by the mere fact of the pig falling into the water becomes impure and everything, with all the water would have to be pulled out, because a pig itself, it is najisul ayn, it is actual impurity. So if it just falls inside by its own self into the well, and you pull it out alive or dead, whatever, any case, as soon as the pig touches the water becomes impure and it would have to be taken out. And he says, so regardless of whether the pig is pulled out alive or not. And he says, وَبِمَوْتِ كَلْبٍ أَوْ شَاتٍ أَوْ آدَمِيٍ فِيهَا. If a dog or a sheep or a human dies, either falls inside the well and dies, or is dead and is thrown in, or blown in, or kicked in, whatever the case may be, however one of these animals or people tend to fall into the well, being dead and things, then in this case, the water will also be dirty, and it would have to be all pulled out. Okay, then he continues on. وَبِإِنْتِفَاخِ حَيَوَانٍ وَلَوْ صَغِيرًا وَمِئَةَ دَلْوٍ لَوْ لَمْ يُمْكِنْ نَزْحُهَا. He says, similarly, you would also have to pull out all the water from a well if there is a bloated animal which is lying in the well, even if it's a small animal. And he says here that if it's not, he says, okay, here he's talking about if this small animal, whatever small one you can think about, which falls into the water, it dies, and it's bloated now, laying inside the water, if it's not possible to pull all the water out, then you have to pull out mi'ata dalwin, which is 200 buckets of water from the well. So, normally a well has its own bucket itself that is used in the well, as is generally the case. So 200 of that buckets you will have to pull out and throw out. That is if it's not possible to pull all the water out. If it's possible to pull all the water out, then all the water has to be taken out. But if it's not possible, then at least 200 buckets of water must be pulled out before the water will now be considered as being pure again. He says, وَإِنْ مَاتَتْ فِيهَا دَجَاجَةٌ أَوْ هِرَّةٌ أَوْ نَحْوِهِمَا لَزِمَ نَزْحُ أَرْبَعِينَ دَلْوًا. If a chicken or a cat or something similar to them dies inside the water, it becomes necessary for 40 buckets to be pulled out from the well. وَإِنْ مَاتَتْ فِيهَا فَأَرَةٌ أَوْ نَحْوِهَا لَزِمَ نَزْحُ عَشْرِينَ دَلْوًا. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ طَهَارَةٌ لِلْبِئْرِ وَالدَّلْوُ وَالرَّشَاءُ وَيَدُ الْمُسْتَسْقِي. He says, if a chicken or a cat falls inside the water and dies, then 40 buckets of water has to be pulled out. And if a mouse falls, a mouse or a rat falls inside the water and it dies, then 20 buckets of water has to be pulled out. And this pulling out of that X amount of buckets from the well, this is the action, the method of purifying the well, and the bucket and the rope and the hand of the person who cleans the well, everything will all be cleaned through this process of pulling the water out of the well. So as you can see here, depending on the animal, the ruling will differ. If it is a small actual animal itself, then 200 buckets. If it's a chicken or a cat, something like this, then 40 buckets. If it's a mouse or a rat, then 20 buckets. Then he says, وَلَا تُنَجِّسُ الْبِئْرُ بِالْبَعْرِ وَالرَّوْثِ وَالْخَصِيِّ إِلَّا يَسْتَكْثِرُهُ النَّاظِرُ أَوْ أَلَّا يَخْلُو دَلْوٌ عَنْ بَعْرَةٍ. He says, the water of a well will not become impure with the dung of camels, or sheep, or horses, and cows, and donkeys, and so on and so forth, except if there's such a large amount in the water that the onlooker, wherever you look, basically you see dung laying inside the water. Or every time you pull up a bucket of water, you find dung inside it. In this case here, then the water would be dirty. But other than that, if there's just a little bit inside of it, then it would be forgiven. As was mentioned in the beginning chapter, that this is something which is not possible to prevent, generally, because the animals pass by, and you have no control over what they do. But it mentioned here, it clarifies that if it's so much, a large amount inside it, then it's a different story, and then all, in that case, all the water will have to be pulled out. Then he continues, وَلَا يُفْسِدُ الْمَاءُ بِخَرْءِ حَمَّامٍ وَعُصْفُورٍ. The droppings of a pigeon and a sparrow, if it falls inside the water, it will not damage the water. So therefore, and this would apply to other birds, turkeys and so on, which are also eaten as well. So basically, those birds whose flesh is eaten, if their droppings fall inside the water, in that case, it will not affect the water. And obviously, like it's mentioned here, this is for birds who you can eat. If it's birds that you can't eat, like vultures and things like that, then they will not have a different view with regards to their droppings. Okay, but in any case, continuing on, he says, وَلَا بِمَوْتِ مَا لَا دَامَ لَهُ فِيهِ كَسَمَكٍ وَبِقْتَعٍ وَحَيَوَانُ الْمَاءِ وَبِقٌ وَذُبَابٌ وَزُنْبُورٌ وَعَقْرَبٌ وَبَقٌ. So he says, and the death of something which does not have blood, which does not have flowing blood, basically, in it. Like a fish, a frog, and other creatures which live in the sea, and bugs, flies, wasps, and scorpions, and all these other things which don't have flowing blood. If any of these creatures fall inside the water, then according to the Kitab, the Hanafi Madhab, if these things fall in the water and they die, the water will not be impure. So this is with regards to, as you get, basically instead of mentioning fish and frog and everything, it's just sufficient to say creatures which live in the water, if they die in the water, it don't affect the water. And if things which don't have flowing blood in them, if they die in the water, then too, it won't affect the water. So all insects and things, if they die in the water, it will not affect the water, it will still be pure. Then he says, وَلَا بِهُقُمْ عَدَمِينَ يؤكل لحمه إذا خرج حيا ولم يكن على بدنه نجاسة. He says, the water will also not be affected if a person or an animal whose meat is eaten, meaning it's permissible to eat animal like a sheep or a cow, if it falls inside the water and it is taken out while it is alive. As long as the body of the person or the animal was clean and pure and free from impurities, then in this case, despite falling into the well, the water will remain clean and you would not need to pull out any buckets of water. So, let's suppose you are clean and you are busy pulling the bucket of water out, but you slip and you fall into the well instead. You come, you just climb out of the well and everything is fine and dandy. There's no need for you to put any buckets out. But if you were impure, let's say you need a ghusl, and you were pulling water out now actually for you to go and make ghusl. So the impurities, everything is, let's say, it's all on you still, or whatever the case may be. And now you fall like this into the water. Now it's a different story, because now impurities entered into the well, and in this case you would have to pull the water out. Okay, he continues on and he says, وَلَا بِوَقُوعِ بَغْلٍ وَحِمَارٍ وَسِبَاعُ طَيْرٍ وَوَحْشٍ الصَّحِيحِ. Furthermore, the water will also not become impure if a mule or a donkey or a bird of prey, wild bird, all these wild birds of prey, like we mentioned previously, falcons and eagles and so on and so forth, if they fall in the water, obviously they're taken out while alive, then in this case, according to the most correct view of the mother, when you tell you it is sahih, so this should tell you that there exists more than one opinion in the madhab. But the more correct view of the madhab is that the water is still pure, it will not be affected by these creatures falling inside of it. It says, وَإِنْ وَصَلَ لُعَابُ الْوَاقِعِ إِلَى الْمَاءِ أَخَذَ حُكْمُهُ. He says, if the saliva of the animal touches the water, then the water will be judged according to the saliva of the animal. So, depending whether it's a dog, whether it's a pig, whether it's a bird, birds have saliva, I don't know, anyway, so whether it's a sheep or a lion or whatever the case may be, when it licks the water, that's basically how the saliva touches the water. Or suppose it falls down into the water and it opens its mouth and everything. Obviously, its saliva has reached the water. So the water will be judged according to the animal which has touched the water. According to the saliva of the animal which has touched the water. This will judge whether it is pure water that can be used or whether it's dirty water which cannot be used. So obviously, we have done previously that the saliva of a dog is. Okay, we have not mentioned it here in this book, but in any case, the saliva of a dog is impure, so therefore, if his saliva touches the water would be dirty. But if a human being, if you drink from the water, your saliva is not dirty, so therefore, the water would not be dirty either. So, depending on the creature itself, whose saliva is touching the water, that is what will be the deciding factor on whether the water is pure or impure. Continuing on, he says, ووجود حيوان ميت فيها ينجسها من يوم وليلة. If you find a animal which is laying dead in the well and nobody knew about it, basically you just come across and you find a dead animal here. We don't know how long it has been laying inside in the well. Then it will be considered to be dirty for one day and one night. So, you come across an animal laying dead in the well, so everybody's been making wudu from only this water all the time, every day. So, obviously, now if this animal has been dead in there, the water was supposed to have been pulled out, so therefore the water is dirty. So, therefore, the wudu that the people made from this water was actually not valid. So therefore, these people were performing salah without wudu. So, which leads again to finally the fact that their salah was invalid, which means they have to perform qada. So how much salah must they make qada of? This is what is being referred to by this. So it will be considered as being dirty for one day and one night. So here you find the animal laying dead. So you can say one day and one night, basically in simple terms, what we term today is one day. So five salawat, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha. This is what you will re-perform, because obviously now you pull this animal out, you clear the well of all the dirty water, and when the clean water is inside, everybody makes the wudu again on the clean water, and now you make qada of the last five salah, meaning the salah of the last day and night. So that will now bring you up to date again, so to say, with your salah. Okay, it says, وَمُنْتَفِخٌ مِنْ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ وَلَيَالِيهَا إِنْ لَمْ يَعْلَمْ وَقْتُ وُقُوعِهِ. If the animal is bloated, it's swollen, that you have now found in the well, and you don't know how long it's been lying in the well, and then it will be considered to be dirty, the water to be dirty, for 3 days and 3 nights, if nobody knows when the animal fell inside. So, in the previous one we did, it was, so when you pull an animal out and the animal is still, so to say, fresh, so you don't know when exactly it fell in, but it hasn't begun to swell yet. So that would be considered to be 1 day and 1 night. But when the animal has already swollen up and bloated like this, laying in the water, in this case, 3 days and 3 nights. So out there, 3 full days of salah. And let's say 15 salawat, all of that would have to be repeated after you have removed all the water and gotten fresh water from the fresh wudu, and you will perform qada salah of the last 3 days worth of salah. Okay, so that is, we can stop on this chapter here, inshallah. It's the ending of this chapter. The next chapter will now go on towards istinja. So we're leaving the chapter of the waters and wudu itself behind. We're now going to those things which precede wudu, which is istinja, cleaning yourself in between. So therefore, this inshallah we can do for next time. So on this point here we will end, and next time we can, next Tuesday inshallah, we can continue onwards from this point. So, with that being said, we'll stop here and say, Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.